tonight's scripture reading comes in two parts, one from the Old and one from the New Testament. From the Old Testament, book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in those in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And from the book of Mark, second chapter, verses 23 through 28. One Sabbath Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing this, what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" And he answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk about a general principle and then a specific instance of it tonight. We love the scriptures, and often we find a scripture and we hold on to it, one verse or a couple verses, and we hold on to it. And that's a beautiful thing to do, and I believe that's what God intends us to do with his word. But we also need to remember that the scriptures are, for us, the whole counsel of God, that they need to be taken together. They need to be interpreted in light of each other. We look at the Old Testament now, we interpret it in light of the New Testament, what we know to be true about Jesus Christ and about the grace that we find in God through that. And so it's important as it is for us to memorize verses and have verses that we see as promises of God and we hold on to them, we have to be really careful about taking verses out of context and ignoring maybe what the rest of Scripture has to say. Sometimes when we do that with different verses, we almost get bipolar with what's going on. And you could see how that could happen with the two passages that Doug just read for you. The first from the Decalogue, from the Ten Commandments, when God tells Moses that the people are to keep the Sabbath holy, they're to remember it. Remembering that in 6 days God made the earth and on the seventh day he rested. It's holy. As a matter of fact, of all the holy days of the Jewish people, the Sabbath was the biggest one, even though it happened once a week. And then we have Jesus, who seemed to just really like to turn the Sabbath upside down. Here we see him walking through the grain field with his disciples, rubbing the grain off so they could eat it. Various other times in the New Testament, we see in the Gospels, we see him healing people on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees are in a frenzy over this. He's not following the rules of the Sabbath, and they're really distressed. And when they confront him about his disciples working on the Sabbath as they rub these grain heads so that they can eat them, Jesus points back to a story of David that we find in 1 Samuel, when David was running for his life from Saul, and he comes to a priest, and he and his companions need something. They're desperate to eat. He said, do you have bread? Can you give us 5 loaves? And the priest says to him, "All I have is the consecrated bread, the showbread that was warm and then sat as an offering to God and then was replaced when it wasn't warm anymore. All I have is this consecrated bread that the priests would eat. And yet he gave it to David and his companions and they ate it. And Jesus is pointing out sometimes when we're straining for the letter of the law, we miss the spirit of the law. And then he says this. He says, man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. And the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. So what do we do with all that? Keep the Sabbath holy, and yet Jesus broke some of the laws on the Sabbath, and we want to follow Jesus. We're under grace. We're under a new covenant. We're not required to keep the Sabbath anymore. So what do we do with it? Most of us just throw it away. God set the law in place that his people keep the Sabbath holy. And then you know what God's people did? They did what we always do, is they made it really complicated. And they started getting a whole lot of rules. As a matter of fact, at one point, with the rabbi and the Torah scholars, they had 39 categories of things that could not be done on the Sabbath. Not only not working, you couldn't tie up sheaves of grain. You could not, get this, write two consecutive letters. I guess one letter was okay, but you could not write two consecutive letters. And you could not erase two consecutive letters. The laws just got silly. All these things you could and couldn't do. And even today, Orthodox Jews who still keep the Sabbath, many of them do not drive on the Sabbath. Many of them cook their dinner, their Sabbath meal, before sundown on Friday night so that no one has to cook. They take very seriously not working on the Sabbath. And I don't know why it is that we do that. God gives us something and we turn it into this big, exhausting obligation. Paul talks about in Romans 14 when he's talking about issues that people look at different ways. He says to one person, one day is holier than the rest. And yet to another, all days are equally holy. So each person should be convinced in their own mind of what is right for them. Some people observe a Sabbath day, some people do not. We have to automatically take into account that as Christians, we do not celebrate the Sabbath at all, because the Sabbath was the seventh day of the week. It starts on sundown on Friday night and goes to sundown on Saturday night. When the first believers gathered on the first day of the week when Jesus rose from the dead, somehow we started as Christians worshiping on Sunday. So we're already not on the Sabbath. And as I said, we're not required to follow the Sabbath. And yet, if God himself set up this pattern where he worked and then he rested, what should that mean for us as his children, as his followers? You know, we read Isaiah's words in Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, the everlasting God, does not grow tired or weary. So God did not rest after creation because it was exhausted, because he spent himself creating. Because the scriptures remind us that God does not get exhausted. He does not get tired. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. But we read in Genesis 2 that after God had created everything, he looked at his creation and he saw that it was very good. And he rested from his labor. He enjoyed, he appreciated his creation. The word Sabbath, which in Hebrew is more like Shabbat, means rest. But it means more than just rest. It means to cease or to decease, even sometimes to interrupt. So as we see God on his Sabbath, if you will, on the seventh day, he ceased from his labor and he enjoyed his creation. Again and again in the Old Testament, the Israelite people are reminded of this pattern that God set up of working and then resting, of working and then resting. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy 5, when God is reminding the Israelites again about keeping the Sabbath holy, he ties into it their release from slavery. He said, because once you were slaves and God set you free. So now we see on the Sabbath, not only are God's people resting, not only are they ceasing from their labors, not only are they enjoying the blessing of God, but they are celebrating their freedom that they are no longer slaves. I think about all that in context of the world we live in. That is crazy. Where people work unbelievable hours at work. Where people are committed multiple evenings of the week. Where people's weekends are packed full of stuff. And so many people have to work even on the weekend. They have their weekend sometimes during the week. Where people I know are exhausted. They're tired. They're tired sometimes of doing good things. And I wonder if we don't need to take a look again at what kind of Sabbath rest God instructed his people to have and God provides for his people. I don't know about you all, but Sunday is not a day of rest for us at all in our household. I will give you a quick snapshot of what our last Sunday morning looked like. We get up at 6:30 to get things ready, to stop at the bagel shop, to stop at Dunkin' Donuts, to come to church, to set up the continental breakfast. Normally we would have gone to Sunday school, but because the band was playing, we had to come set up and practice. Then the band led worship during the service. I had to elder host. We had an emergency session meeting after church, and then we had to run to Bordentown to celebrate Tom's mom's birthday with Tom's whole family. So by the time we rolled into home with some snow falling at about 5 o'clock, we were exhausted. And then comes Monday. Not at all a day of rest. And I don't know if that's how your Sundays get, packed full of good things, but certainly not rest. And so what do we do with this idea of Sabbath rest? What does it look like if we thought about implementing it in our own lives? There is a need for human beings to work and then to relax. You know, to do things that we enjoy, whether that's watching movies or playing golf or watching football or going to the movies or concerts. It's really important that we have times of relaxation, whether it's physical or emotional, that we just let down from the busyness of our days. It's vitally important. And yet, as important as that is, that's not really what we're talking about, Sabbath rest. You know, laying in bed all day on a Saturday does not constitute Sabbath rest, although it's a wonderful thing to be able to do. So what is this Sabbath rest that I believe God has for his people, and how do we get it into our lives? The thought of taking a day for Sabbath rest at this point in your life, if you don't already do it, is probably overwhelming. How are you possibly going to fit in everything that you have to do, especially on a weekend, and take a day of Sabbath rest? You know, as we think about that and think about our schedules and think about the craziness of life, I'm reminded of the 23rd Psalm and the purpose, I believe, one of the purposes, I believe, why God created the whole idea of rest and Sabbath rest for his people. And most of you remember these words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Hear it again. He restores my soul. We're so busy doing and producing. And we live in a world that says to be a workaholic is a beautiful thing. That we need to succeed. We need to achieve. We need to produce. And not that any of those things are bad, they're not. But our souls are weary because we're not created to just function and function and function without rest. And not just rest, but Sabbath rest. Rest that comes from being in the presence of God. Rest that comes from knowing this good shepherd who makes us to lie down in green pastures and leads us beside still waters and restores our soul. I wonder what our lives would look like if we looked a little harder into what this Sabbath rest is all about. A few years ago, and I'm not even sure how many at this point, I became very interested in what the church throughout the years has called the spiritual disciplines. And, you know, we know several of the disciplines. Worship is a spiritual discipline, and scripture reading is a spiritual discipline, and prayer is a spiritual discipline, and even Bible study, the study of scripture, not just the reading, but the study of it, is a spiritual discipline. But I felt my soul longing for something more, and looking at the spiritual disciplines, as Richard Foster points out, as a means of grace, not something we do to earn God's pleasure or to earn God's love, but putting ourselves in a place where we know God is, that we will find him. And I felt myself drawn to look at some of the disciplines like fasting and solitude and silence and wonder what they looked like in my own life. And because I'm blessed to be able to plan and lead this service most Thursday nights, I found myself with a perfect opportunity on Thursdays to try to experience a little bit, not only of the spiritual disciplines, but possibly a little bit of what the Sabbath looks like. So even though my Sundays are crazy, my Thursdays are a gift from God because I get to spend most of the day reading and thinking and praying. I often take prayer requests on Facebook on Thursday, so I have a lot of things to pray about. It's one of the days that I spend doing some intercession for people. I get to sit in God's presence and try to hear what words he might have to say to me as I try the last day of pulling my message together to see if he has something else to say from the scriptures that I haven't heard him say all week. I take time when I just put on some praise worship music and I just sit and do nothing else, which is something I never could do before. You know, I could listen to music if I'm washing dishes or if I'm cooking or if I'm doing something else, but just to sit and listen, to absorb the music and the words. So Thursday has become like a Sabbath for me, and I'm going to tell you this, it's life-changing. It restores my soul. It re-centers me. It reinvigorates me. It draws me without the distractions because I try to shut off every other noise except whatever's going on between God and I and our praise music. It's changed my life. And often I find Thursdays are one of my favorite days of the week because it's become somewhat of a Sabbath to me. A day just that I get to spend alone with God. Now, I am fortunate because I am home during the days, and I know that there are those of you who are out busy, out working, busy with that, 4, 5, sometimes 6 days a week, 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and you have stress and pressure on you that just pushes and pushes and pushes. And you may not at this point in your life be able to take a day and make it a Sabbath. And when you haven't had a Sabbath, to start out with a whole day of Sabbath, it's kind of overwhelming. You don't even know what to do. How do you fill up a day in God's presence? But what I would love to encourage you tonight, if you don't have a time during your week that is set apart for you to be alone with God, whatever that looks like for you, whether that's a little time of extended scripture reading, whether you're reading a book by a Christian author, whether you're on your phone or your iPad with a Right Now Media app that we have as a benefit of belonging to this church. You get a free membership. Then you want to watch a video or a teaching from there. You want to just sit and you want to listen to some music, whether that's a recording of hymns or whether it's praise worship music. Whether you want to just sit and pray for a little bit. Whether you just want to sit in silence, listening for that still small voice of God. Whatever it is, whatever it looks like for you, whatever works with your temperament, whatever works with your schedule, I really would love to challenge you to find some time in your week, some time in your week where you can just stop, where you can turn off all the noise that's clamoring at you, the news, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the internet, social media, all the stuff, 900 channels of TV, all sorts of talk radio, all the stuff, all the noise, all the chaos, all the negativity, all the problems that are getting thrown at us all day long, to turn it off, to step back, and to just do something with God, something in his presence, to let him lead you to those green pastures, to those still waters, to let him restore your soul. Because something happens with that kind of Sabbath rest that can't happen. You could have a week's vacation. You could spend 4 days doing all the stuff you love to do. And that refreshes you. But it's different. It's different than Sabbath rest. It's different than time spent alone, you and God, whatever that looks like for the two of you, because that's when our souls are restored. It's when we quiet ourselves down, when we shut out the noise of the world, that we get to hear that still small voice of God. We get to soak in his presence. We get to offer our prayers to him unhindered by the obligations of life. It's sacred time. And we are not required to do it. It's not something we have to do to check off on our I'm a really good Christian list. But I believe if we do not take advantage of Sabbath time with God, we are robbing ourselves of not only the joy of having a time of intimacy with God, but we are robbing ourselves of the very way God not only restores us, but gives us strength. The very way God builds us and refines our character and shows us the things that he needs to show us and how he gets our full attention. Well, most of the time we're giving God the same kind of attention we give our kids, half of our attention while we're trying to do something else. It's not an obligation. I believe it's a gift. And when we don't take advantage of it, I believe we're robbing ourselves. We're cheating ourselves of something wonderful God has for us. The writer of Hebrews tells us that we know that there is a Sabbath rest that we are invited to enter into. And that Sabbath rest is Jesus. That's where we can rest from our striving and our trying to vindicate and to redeem ourselves. And we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, who, by the way, after he was done redeeming humankind, sat down at the right hand of God the Father. After Jesus finished his work, he sat down. After God finished creation, he rested. Again, not because he's tired, because God doesn't get tired, but because there's something about rest, because there's something about appreciating the blessings of God. And for us, there's something about being in communion with God. There are some of the ancient church fathers who have written about Sabbath rest, saying you should have 1 minute of Sabbath rest an hour, and 1 hour of Sabbath rest a day, and 1 day of Sabbath rest a week, and 1 week of Sabbath rest a year. You may not be ready to fit that all into your schedule, but a couple minutes of Sabbath rest. You know, it's something that God even prescribed for his creation. In the Jewish law, once every seventh year, a field that had been planted on the seventh year laid fallow. Nothing was planted. It wasn't worked. And whatever grew, grew. Whatever was in there grew, and the people could eat it. But they let the ground sit fallow. And I believe because that was for a lot of reasons. One, because that's the pattern that God set up. We produce, we work, we rest. We produce, we work, we rest. And I believe that's part of that because that's just the rhythm that God has created for us. But also in God's wisdom, it gave the chance for the field to have its nutrients restored. So that the ground wasn't over-farmed like we do today when we start stripping our produce of all kinds of nutrients because we just want to produce as much stuff so we can sell as much stuff, so we can consume as much stuff as possible. Where God prescribed for his people to let the field rest, to let the nutrients regenerate, to let the soil be made rich again so that they'd be ready to grow rich, beautiful, nutritious crops. And I believe that principle is true for us. As we let our heart, like that plot of ground, rest, to let God re-energize us, to get our nutrients going, if you will, to make our heart rich soil that is able to grow again beautiful, luscious crops as God tends us. You do not have to keep a Sabbath in order to be loved by God. You do not have to keep a Sabbath in order to go to heaven. You are free from that because Jesus fulfilled that law and he gave his life. But I believe the principle of that is something that we would benefit from greatly if we let God fit that rhythm into our life of working and resting and working and resting and having set apart time to be in his presence. If that's something that you've never done before or something that you're uncomfortable doing, I'm going to give you a couple of ideas to take 5 minutes. The first thing I would recommend is if you want to read some scripture, start with something like a psalm. And read it slowly, and then maybe read it slowly again. And maybe even read it out loud, because sometimes we hear things differently when it's read out loud. Maybe read a chapter of the Gospel of John to yourself, and then read it again to see what else God might want to say to you. Maybe just spend a couple minutes not only praying for the people in your life, but asking God to move in your life, asking God to show you anything that he needs to show you. Thanking God for what he's done for you. Celebrating his presence, because that's his promise, that he's present with us at all the time. Sometimes we just can sit quiet, and when your mind starts to wander, just refocus yourself by saying, Jesus. Maybe read some of the beautiful description of what worship looks like in the book of Revelation, somewhere chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. Take a look at some of those passages. Revelation 1 has this beautiful picture of how John saw Jesus in white robe, wrapped with a gold sash, his eyes glowing like coal. Maybe read one of those beautiful descriptions of what God looks like. And just let your mind focus on that for a little bit. You don't have to start out taking hours and hours. Just start out with a couple of minutes. And we try to do that in the morning with quiet time, but just try to set apart some time, maybe this weekend coming up, or maybe next week, just carve out a little bit of time where you can just turn off everything and just sit in God's presence and experience that Sabbath rest. And it might be uncomfortable in the beginning, so I encourage you just to keep trying different things. Make that a priority, to spend time in God's presence, to stop everything else, to let God restore your soul. Your life, my life, will be immeasurably different, I believe it, when we learn to let God restore us, when we learn to rest in God's presence. It's the rhythm that God set up for himself, for the world, for humankind. It's a rhythm, I believe, that we desperately need in this over-busy, over-crazy world we live in. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we are reminded, reminded of the words, God, that you speak to us through the psalmist. Be still and know that I am God. And we remember, God, that it's in the stillness. It's when all the noise stops, all the demands on our time, all the chaos stops, that we're able to know who you are. It's where we find you. God, remember, we remember the words of the psalmist who said, I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child against its mother is my soul within me. God, that's so contrary to the people we are. We're like Mary. We just want to be busy doing stuff, serving you, getting done what needs to be done. Lord, we don't know how to be Mary, how just to sit at your feet and listen to what you have to say. So God, we're just asking you to teach us how to do that. Even tonight, God, to show us a time, a place, a way we can quiet our souls. We can spend time with you. We can enter into that Sabbath rest. God, because we long for you to really be our shepherd. And we long for you to help us to lie down in those green pastures, to lead us beside those still waters. And most of all, Lord God, we long for you to restore our tired, weary souls. We hear your invitation, Jesus, come to me. All you who are tired and burdened and beat up and stressed out and aggravated and depressed and worn out, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. God, we need rest for our souls. Help us learn of you. God, help us just to be, to take a pause from doing and just be who we are, your children, created in your image, loved, desired. Help us just to soak you in. Help us to be wrapped in your love. Help us to find you in a way we never have before. In the quiet, in the still, in the Sabbath, in the rest. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.